Anybody lose heart this week on something? Yeah?
All of you guys just responded with grunts. All I heard was, "Rrr." You know, you know it's bad when people respond with, "Rrr." You know.
But we want you to turn to Luke chapter 10 today. And while you're turning there, I'm gonna give you proof that everything is gonna be better. Remember how Jesus said that he is going to prepare a place? Well, I think we found it in this week's meme of the week. Are you ready for it? So here you go. Here it is. Is this what Jesus meant when he goes to prepare a place for us? Yo, there's a Krispy Kreme and a Chick-fil-A right beside each other. Do you understand how incredible? I don't know where that is, but I'm going to move there as soon as I find that place. And you're all coming with me because I couldn't stand to be without you. So we're all moving to wherever Krispy Kreme and Chick-fil-A is side by side. And we can camp out there all day, right? You know? We can have donuts in the morning and then just sit around feeling miserable until we stuff ourselves full of God's chicken. And then we can feel miserable all afternoon. And so we're going to continue on with this sermon series that we started a couple of weeks ago. And this is our third week in it. And we're calling it Choices. And we're talking about things that we need to fight for that make a difference in our lives. And when I've been thinking about this week's, so I was reminded of this news story that came out years ago. It was a guy named Steve Tran, and this happened many years ago in Westminster, California. You ever have those times where it's the middle of the night and you just hear like a cockroach under your bed or something? You know what that's like? Some of you are going, "No, I don't know what that's like." Well, rub it into the rest of us, so, you know. Steve Tran, this guy Steve, he had a big cockroach problem. They were all over his kitchen. They were all over his apartment. He lived in an apartment complex. They were all over his bedroom. They were all over everything. And Steve just got fed up. He was losing heart, and he got fed up, so he decided to do something about it. So he went to his local Home Depot, something like that. I'm not sure exactly where he went. And he went to go get foggers. He went to go get bug bombs. And he read on there, for the size of his apartment, two of them would cover it. But Steve was so fed up, he bought 25 of them. You're laughing. You know where this is going, right? 25 of them in his apartment where two would have covered it. I almost picture, I wonder how he lit all 25 of those foggers, you know, because, I mean, you know, after about number 12, he's breathing that stuff in, you know, I mean, as he's setting them all over his place, I just picture what this was like. You know, I mean, surely he's got like a little, you know, he's got a bandana over his mouth or something. I mean, he's trying to, you know, surely something. I don't know. 25 of them. So why? Because he was so fed up of the cockroaches. Well, that 25 bug bombs kind of caused a bit of a problem. Because the fumes reached the pilot light of his stove and caused a massive explosion. It sent his screen door flying across the street, broke every single window in that little apartment that he was renting. I mean, I don't think it was an apartment complex, but I think it was an apartment building, you know, just a few apartments in there. Shattered every single window in his unit, caused over $10,000 worth of damage, all because he was so fed up. And this is a quote from what Steve said in this article that I read. He said, this news article, he said, "I really wanted to kill all of them. I thought if I used a lot more, it would last longer." By the way, just so you know, cockroaches were back within a week. Man, what's the moral of that story, right? If you got a problem inside your house, try and fix it without destroying your house, right? And let's be totally honest. Today, those choices that we're talking about family. We're talking about fighting for our family. And let's be honest, sibling rivalries have been blowing up our homes for centuries, haven't they? They're some of the most fascinating stories in the Bible, right? You've got, of course, Joseph, who has irritated his older brother so much so that they throw him into a well. They tell dad he's dead, and they sell him off into slavery, all because of this little sibling rivalry. Of course, the very first sibling rivalry you see in Scripture is Cain and Abel, right? Now, that one's not quite as entertaining as some of the others. You know, you've got, actually, in Genesis 25, you have Jacob and Esau wrestling. And I, as a twin, and I have a twin brother, I know what that's like. I understand wrestling before you're even born. Because that guy's a moron. And, you know, he just is. You know, you've got that fight, and as entertaining as that is, you know, you've actually, of course, we don't need to talk about how David's sons and daughters and all the problems that they had. You know, we've talked about that on Wednesday night over the past year. We dealt with a lot of that. Man, sibling rivalries have destroyed houses our entire life. Family relations are hard, aren't they? If we were to take a poll today, and we're not going to, so please don't answer this, but I want to ask you this. How many of you wish you had a better relationship with your family, with your kids, with your grandkids, with your mom, with your dad, with your brothers, with your sisters? How many of you wish that that was better than it is? I think probably most hands would kind of go up. But here's the thing that I see. A lot of times, especially in families, when we don't deal with conflict appropriately, you almost feel like you're setting up these big bug bombs that are going to cause problems, these 25 foggers, and it's going to cause an explosion, and there's going to be huge damage. And that's what happens a lot of times in our life. So I think that one of the best lessons when we talk about family is found in Luke chapter 10. It's the story of Martha and Mary, two adult sisters who live with their brother as well, Lazarus. And we're gonna see this here a little bit. So we're gonna read in Luke 10, starting in verse 38. And just so you know, if you do not have a Bible, please take one underneath the seat. You are welcome to keep that Bible. That is yours forever. Take it home and read it. It's a different translation than I'm reading, so you're going to be a little bit lost. So you would have been fine on three questions, but on this you'd be lost. So let's read verses 38 through the end of the chapter here in Luke 10. It says, while they were traveling, he, meaning Jesus, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary, who also sat at the Lord's feet and was listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, and she came up and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? So tell her to give me a hand. The Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things. But one thing is necessary. Mary has made the right choice, and it will not be taken away from her. Well, I want to say that, you know, there are few things more important in life than family. Family is one of the first things that God ever created. And the fact that you're sitting here means that you have a family. It means that you have connections. It means that there are people that are part of your story and have been, and that there are people that are going to continue to be a part of your story. And as we look at this story here today, I want us to see how we need to be fighting for our families and what that actually looks like. Now, this right here is one of this unfortunate little incident in the life of Mary and Martha. So we're going to try and learn from their mistakes so that we don't do the same thing. And while this is focused on family, there may be some things here that you can apply to other relationships as well, too. But let's be honest here. Does anybody know you better than your family? I really thought I'd get feedback on that. I thought at least I'd get a head nod, a yes or a no or something. I mean, seriously, who knows you best? Is it your family or is it your coworkers? Is it your friends? Who knows you best? Well, God does, definitely. Yes, thank you, Annette. That is definitely God that knows you best. And when we talk about our relationships here on earth, family is such a huge deal. And I want you to see here as we look at this story that I think one of these big problems that Mary and Martha had is about confrontation versus conflict. So we're going to see here that avoiding confrontation can sometimes lead to conflict. So I love this picture because Jesus shows up with his apostles and he shows up for a meal there. And I picture what these two, Mary and Martha and Lazarus, were thinking of. Lazarus is actually not even part of the story, so we don't know what he's doing during this whole thing. He's probably sitting back there with a tub of popcorn watching his sisters argue and fight it out, right? I'd be egging him on. You know, I'd be like, hey, Martha, you know Mary's in there doing nothing, right? Yeah, I'd be eating the popcorn doing that. It would be fun for me, right? But I think if you think about what is really going on, Jesus shows up here. He's got his apostles with him because notice they were traveling, right? He entered the village, and a woman named Martha welcomed her into his home. This could be the very first time that Jesus has ever met Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. We know of at least three times that Jesus was at their home,
And we're going to talk a little bit more about that. But at least three times that Jesus was at their home. And this is the very first one that we know about. Now imagine that I just want you to pretend that some guy that's famous and he's got his entourage and he shows up at your house. What are you going to want to do to your house to make it presentable? I need time to set off the bug bombs, right? Get 25 bug bombs and set them off, right? Now, Martha gets a bad rap in all this, and rightly so. Jesus does say that she chose the poor option. But I want you to think about what you know about Martha's personality. I suspect that what happens here is he shows up and he's got his apostles and she's thinking, man, we can plan this big meal. We can love on them. We get this opportunity to show off our family's hospitality. We get the chance to meet their hungers. We get the chance to do all of this and get to love on them. Mary, what's she motivated by? She's like, it's Jesus. I just want to learn from him, right? That's kind of, I think, the two motivations of these two. Martha's going, man, here's our chance to do something great for them. And Mary's going, man, here's our chance to just learn from him. And these two personalities are going to end up causing some conflict and having some problems here. And as Luke tells the story, Martha explodes. You know, I almost picture like a thunderstorm that rolls in quickly, and then all of a sudden there's that big thunder, and you're going, where did that come from? That's almost what I picture here. And I truly think that Martha was just seeing an opportunity to love on Jesus, to wow Jesus with how great their family is and how well they have taken him in. But instead, it ends up being this public and embarrassing conflict for her. Right? I've shared this meme before, but I think it's appropriate to share it again. A guy named Nan, a kid, here's actually what he wrote. I want you to see this. He said, "Dear God, I bet it's very hard for you to love all of everybody in the whole world. There's only four people in our family, and I could never do it." Admit it, you've all felt that way sometimes, right? Give me one of these. You've all felt that way, right? Let's try it. Third time. Here we go. Third time's a charm. You've all felt it, right? You know what I mean? We understand what this kid's coming from. We're going, Jesus, how in the world can you love all of everybody in the whole world when I can't even love my family? It's hard. And this is, I think, where Martha is very much right here in this picture. Now, I called this point, this first little point that I'm making, avoiding confrontation can sometimes lead to conflict. And I want to talk about what those two are. Confrontation kind of gets a bad rap in our day and age, doesn't it? We think of confrontation as a fight. But isn't that what conflict is? Conflict is when you have two different viewpoints that are fighting and it leads to this conflict. The confrontation can simply be this dealing with you need to let someone know you don't keep things bottled up. You confront somebody with what's going on. Sometimes that's what you're going through. Now, do you know what Luke 10 is missing? You know what we don't see anywhere in the narrative where we don't see anything in this history that happens? Is a private conversation between Martha and Mary. Right? What happens? Martha is doing all the work. And there's three people in their family that we know of. Now there's 13 others that are there. It's not very often you've got to prepare and set a table for five times the normal amount of people that you normally do. And Martha is so caught up doing all of that, and that she just keeps looking over, and she just sees Mary, and Mary's just sitting there not helping at all. But the one thing that we don't ever see is a confrontation between them. All we see is the conflict. All we see is the blow-up. All we see is the part that things escalated so much to where it reached that point where everything just exploded, right? Imagine how different it would have been if Jesus and his apostles show up and they sit down and Mary and Martha said, "Okay, Jesus, this is kind of an unusual situation. What do you want of us? Do you want us to go cook a meal? Do you want us not to? I mean, what should this look like?" Imagine how differently this day could have looked, right? If there had been a little bit more communication, if there had been a little bit more honesty, if there had been a little bit more confrontation even about their expectations here. Let's keep in mind, this is the guy that could produce a meal for thousands of people with a sack lunch, right? Does he really need Martha in the kitchen there doing that? We don't know. You know why?
They were too busy going with their own expectations of what they wanted to do. And Mary's just sitting around listening to Jesus, and Martha's trying to serve Jesus, and he's trying to take care of Jesus. Right? Are you with me on all that? And let's be honest. Are either of those two really bad? In and of themselves, there's absolutely nothing wrong with either one of those options. This is probably a difference in personality styles. You know those people that have a strong sense of right and wrong? The people that go, here's what should happen. Those are the Marthas. I think the Marys are more the fly by the seat of your pants and figure it out as you go along, you know? I wouldn't be surprised if Mary is kind of like one of these people that you're in the middle of a conversation and she's distracted by shiny objects. Like, Mary, over here. All right. Click back to me. Look here, Mary. You know, you want to grab her face and go, Mary, focus right here. I wouldn't be surprised if that's the kind of person she was. And I think both of these ladies should have had a conversation. They should have had this whole deal. They should have had a confrontation where Martha goes, Mary, can I talk to you? Before she just exploded in front of everybody. Right? I think that should have happened. Sometimes, if we want to avoid confrontation, it can lead to problems down the road. And Martha, she's working in the kitchen. She's doing all this, and she's glancing over at Mary, and she just sees Mary sitting there doing nothing, and she gets more and more frustrated. And rather than tell her sister how frustrated she is, notice what she does. She goes, Jesus, will you tell that lazy sister of mine to help me out? That's probably the way she said it. That's Hebrew. That's Greek right there. That's Aramaic, right? I think that's probably what it said. But rather than address her concerns to her sister, now it's a big public spectacle. Right? You with me on all that? Martha's refusal to deal with Mary one-on-one causes a lot of problems because now it turns into this big explosion later on in front of everything. Now, confrontation... Probably not many of us like conflict, right? Probably not many of us do. If you like conflict, then I don't know what to tell you. Confrontation, we kind of equate a lot of times, and we do not like to confront people about things. But here's the key to remember, okay? You know what a confrontation is? It's nothing but a talk about differences. A conflict is where you're pushing and you're trying to get your way and you're going, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong, and all that. But a confrontation is just simply a discussion about your differences. Just a talk. That's all it is. And confrontations can always be a lot more pleasant than a conflict, but sometimes they lead to the same thing. But here, there was no confrontation. They didn't deal with their frustrations. They didn't communicate well. And now it explodes in this public thing where Martha has just had too much. And Mary's kind of going, well, where did this come from, right? That's very much kind of the picture that we see. And here, as we go to the second part here, I want you to think about this. I want you to look for ways to serve your family. And I want you to picture what happens here, right? So Martha, actually, this entire thing backfires on her, right? It backfires because she has told Jesus, okay, tell my sister to help me, right? And it backfires just spectacularly because rather than Jesus get on to Mary like Martha expected, instead Jesus gets on to her. And he said, Martha, Martha, you're worried. You're upset about many things. We'll put it up here on the screen. Go on to the next one for me. Martha, Martha, you're concerned. You're worried about many things. But one thing is necessary. Mary has made the right choice and it will not be taken away from her. So here you have this whole big conflict, all because they didn't have a confrontation that they should have, and now it's a conflict, and now it's bringing in everybody. Could you imagine being one of the disciples that you see that, and you're kind of, I picture like, you know, I don't know, Nathaniel and Philip over there going, yeah, this is awkward. This is weird. Should we say something? Should we do something? Right? I mean, what does this kind of look like here? Here's the thing, though. Conflicts are very rarely a one-way street. Usually it's two people, or three people, or four people, or five people, or your entire family. Some of you have that family that the family game night is just a big fight. You know, you go, that's how we have our fun. We yell at each other, right? It's a game the whole family can play, you know, getting upset and yelling at each other, right? But usually it's not that way. Now here you've got Mary who Jesus has said, look, she's made the right choice. It's not going to be taken away from her. But I want you to think about this here for a minute. Do you think Martha was correct in seeing that Jesus needed a meal? Probably. Maybe.
Martha's motives might have been a little bit wrong, because I think she maybe is trying to impress Jesus, possibly. Maybe that's what's going on. So I think that's part of why Jesus says that Mary's chosen better than Martha has. But I want you to back up here for a minute. I want you to think about this here for a minute. One of those most fascinating things to me is found in the verses we just looked at a minute ago, because it says, verse 40, but Martha was distracted by her many tasks. Martha was distracted by her many tasks. Right? You got that picture? So Martha was distracted. Is that significant? I think it is. And let me tell you why I think that that's significant. Because there's another thing that doesn't go on here. Martha doesn't go to Mary and go, Mary, I'm frustrated. I feel like you're not willing to help out. Instead, she just blows up publicly. But I'm not trying to lay all the blame at Martha's feet, because here's what I think happens as well, too. Martha's distracted, probably because that's her personality, probably because she knows that she feels this desire, this drive to try and take care of people with acts of service, with that kind of thing here. Now, who do you think knows Martha best in all the world? Mary and Lazarus, probably her family. Let me ask you this question, and we have no way of knowing this side of heaven. But do you think Mary knew that Martha would be distracted by all these tasks? Y'all, Martha's in the wrong here. I'm not trying to say she's not. She is. But I kind of sometimes wonder, I wonder how different it would have been if Mary goes, man, I know my sister, and she's going to be stressing out about all these details. I need to help her focus on what she should focus on. I need to help her to see what it is that she should be doing instead of what she feels like she should be doing. Are you with me on all that? Not only do we not have the conversation of Martha going to Mary and having that confrontation about, look, I'm frustrated, but we also don't have Mary going to Martha going, Martha, I love you, and I know you feel the need to do this, but this is Jesus. There's a more important thing to do. Come on. She knows Martha better than anybody in the room except for Jesus. She knows exactly what she needs. She knows Martha's pitfalls. She knows her personality. And honestly, if I can be brutally honest here, I wish there was a part of this story that says Mary went and pulled Martha aside and said, Martha, come on, you're missing out on the greatest event of your life right here, getting to listen to Jesus at our home. Forget about the food. He's not going to be impressed with that. Let's just listen to him. And she doesn't do that. As sad as it is, Martha doesn't know how to have that confrontation with Mary, but I think Mary doesn't know how to serve Martha as well either. Martha thinks it's all about, oh, I have to do all the service stuff. Mary missed out on her chance to do that as well, too. So I ask you this question. Let me just say one more thing before I get into all that. You know another way to serve your family? You know what the one person we don't see in this whole thing? Lazarus. I wonder what he was doing. You know, I wonder, you know, do it. Yeah, he's in the popcorn. That's right. He's egging him on. He's sitting in the, he keeps going back and forth between the kitchen and going, Martha, I can't believe Mary's just sitting there. You know, man, I think that's very much the case, right? Yeah. We don't know, but just to be totally honest, Lazarus knows Mary. He knows Martha. He probably could have been an intermediary. He probably could have even gone in the kitchen and helped Martha. He probably could have raised awareness about all this. I just don't know. But let me ask you this question as we kind of get into all this, as we think a little bit further about all this. If I were to give you $1,000 in cash, $1,000, okay? If I'm going to give you, and I'm not going to give you $1,000, y'all, I'm not doing that. But if I were to give you $1,000, I want you to think through this seriously, in all seriousness. How would you want it? Like $100 bills, $1,000 bills? Well, how would you want it? 20s? Chris is like, I don't care. 5s? Really? Oh, no, ones, $1 bills. Wow. Landon wants $1 bills, y'all, 1,000 $1 bills. You know what I don't think anybody would probably want? 4,000 quarters. Think about how miserable that would be, 4,000 quarters. Kristen's like, I want the quarters, right? You know, the people who want lots of quarters have a Coke machine at their office. That's all there is to it, you know? There's a Fred Craddock. He actually taught at Emory University, and he was addressing a group of ministers. And I love what he said. This is so good. He says, to give my life for Christ appears glorious.
to pour myself out for others, to pay the ultimate price of martyrdom, I'll do it. I'm ready, Lord, to go all out in a blaze of glory. We think of giving our all to the Lord as like taking a $1,000 bill and laying it on the table. Here's my life, Lord. I'm giving it all. But the reality for most of us is that he sends us to the bank and has us cash in the $1,000 for quarters. We go through life putting out 25 cents here and 50 cents there, listening to the neighbor's kid's troubles instead of saying, get lost. Go to a committee meeting. Give a cup of water to a shaky old man in a nursing home. Usually, giving our life to Christ isn't glorious. It's done in all those little acts of love, 25 cents at a time. It'd be easy to go out in a flash of glory. It's harder to live the Christian life little by little over the long haul. Serving your family comes 25 cents at a time, doesn't it? You know, I want to challenge you with your families. Stop trying to go for the big $1,000 splashy things that's going to wow your family. Invest in them a quarter at a time. Invest in them a quarter at a time through little things. And this doesn't matter if you're a kid, you're an adult, it's talking about your brothers and sisters, your aunts, your uncles, your cousins, your grandparents, your grandchildren. It doesn't matter. Find little ways to do that. Maybe you need to leave this service and just text to your family and go, hey, I just want you to know I love you. Throw a quarter in there. Maybe tonight you need to do something. Throw a quarter in there. Stop trying to do the big things. Do the small things. And do a bunch of them. That's what I don't see in this conflict between Martha and between Mary. I don't see this little small acts of service. And y'all, it could have been so different if Mary or Lazarus had said, we know our sister, we understand her stress level, let's deal with that. But they don't. Mary chose wisely. I'm not trying to say she doesn't. But Martha felt alone in that moment. She didn't have to. I really don't think she had to. So here's this whole thing. When we come down to it, I want you to see that Jesus is the glue to having strong families. He is the glue that's going to hold things together. And here's one of the coolest stories because, this conflict between them is not the last time that we see this family, these three. One of my favorite things though is in John 12, and I'm going to read the first three verses of John 12. We've got it there on the screen if you want to see it. But it says, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, the one Jesus had raised from the dead. He goes back to that house. So they gave a dinner for him there. Martha was serving them. Lazarus was one of those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of perfume, pure and expensive nard, anointed Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. So the house was filled with the fragrance of their perfume. Of the perfume, excuse me here. You catch what we see there? This is the first time that Jesus is at their house is this what we were looking at in Luke 10, the three times that we know of. The second time is when Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. This third time is when Jesus goes back, and look at this pretty beautiful picture you have. Martha, what is she doing? She is serving. Mary, what's she doing? She is worshiping. Lazarus, very much alive, is enjoying the meal and getting to hang out with Jesus. And this family working so perfectly in sync, doing some of the same things, are so different now. You know why? Because Jesus had been in their home and now they were following him with no reservations. Jesus is now the glue that is holding them together. They have learned that they need Jesus to be the center of this family. And now, ironically, Mary, still in the kitchen. Martha, still at the feet of Jesus, right? Same picture, but very, very different outcome. Very different outcome. You know, here's the thing. Nothing is going to make your family look the best than when Jesus is the center of it. When Jesus is the most important thing in your family, it's incredible and it's amazing. That second time when Jesus is at their house, when he raises Lazarus from the dead, Martha makes a pretty incredible statement of faith in who Jesus is. She's learned from where she was in Luke 10. By the time you get to Lazarus dying, and she just is like, Jesus, you are everything to me. And now you have this picture. They're all serving God. They're all worshiping God in their own way. And it's just this incredible, beautiful family. No conflict, no fighting. And all because Jesus is the glue that has held things together here. Now, I love the way that John describes all this. The house is filled with the fragrance of the perfume. I'll never forget when, I called my twin brother a moron earlier. He's really not. But I remember when we were in high school, he bought some cologne, and I'm not making this up. He was at work, and he worked in kind of this little warehouse area, and there was a guy selling it on the back of his truck, and he bought some, it seemed like, I feel like that was probably how he did it. And he would put that on, and you would just smell him as soon as he walked in the house, right? You could smell that. I love this picture because the smell saturated the house. It is filled with the house. Those people that are, you're sensitive to strong smells, you would have to get out of there. You'd have to be like, I'm out of here. I'm gone. That scent was so strong that I think what happens here when Jesus leaves, that scent has stayed along. It stayed there for days. The scent of that perfume that Mary is pouring on Jesus' feet. It's this constant reminder that Jesus had been in their home, and that's made all the difference in the world. Now, when Jesus becomes the focus of your family, the difference will saturate your home. It's going to fill every corner. It's going to have an effect that lingers. Y'all, fighting for your family is a fight worth doing. And ironically, we're talking about not fighting. So we're talking about fighting to not fight for your family. But that's where we're at today. Y'all, your family is worth it. Let Jesus be the glue. Find these little acts of service that you can do. Plug in the 25 cents at a time. Communicate. Talk to them. Don't let have the awkward confrontation so it avoids the conflict down the road. Your family is worth it. So let's honor God with our families and in everything we do. It's a fight worth having. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for this incredible family. I look forward to meeting Martha and Mary and Lazarus. I look forward to hearing their stories. I look forward to getting to know their personalities. So God, we pray that as we go through this week, you'll remind us how you can use our lives. You can use us to be light. You can use our behavior and our actions to point people to you. So we pray that you'll do it this week. Father, remind us of how great you are and how great things are when we serve you. It's the sweetest thing in the world. It's like perfume that fills a room. Remind us to be light and salt to this world that needs it so much this week. Remind us to be salt and light to our own families who need it. For your name we pray. Amen.